still remember the time I did a wedding. Remember when her and I walked down the aisle together? She went over, she says, "I'll walk with you, but I don't really want to hold your hand." I'm like, "Well, you have to hold my hand." I said, "Because they do this." I said, "You're not there. You have to hold my hand. I don't want to hold your hand." Oh, my. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Reagan, and we thank you for her wonderful birthday, 8 years old. What a wonderful little girl she is. And Father, I just know, I pray for her salvation. I pray that someday she'll come to know Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She is so spunky, and Father, you got so many wonderful things planned for her life, and I thank you for her. Thank you for all the kids that attend this church. And we love them, and we think so much of them. And Father, we ask a special blessing upon them and Denise today as they go into their little church to learn these beautiful stories that are so important to our foundation of our faith. Father, for us, we ask that you would be with us today as we study your word. Father, may these words be truthful. May they be edifying. May they be encouraging. And Father, most importantly, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by asking you a question. How many of you have ever tried to bargain with a toddler? How'd it go? Not well. I remember a few years ago, and I have talked about my granddaughter Kennedy from time to time. She's a spitfire out of my six grandchildren. She's a spitfire. She's the one that's challenging. Just love her to death, really do. She was over at our house, and this was a few years ago. She was over at our house, and she was running around with the remote control. And I needed the remote control to turn the channel on the TV. So I asked her if I could have it, and she wouldn't give it to me. Now, I could have knocked her down and grabbed it, but I didn't think that was right. So instead, I decided I was going to bargain with her. So I went over and offered her a cookie in exchange for the remote. I thought this will be easy. The kid loves cookies. Seemed like a pretty good deal to me. Well, I quickly learned that toddlers don't always see things the same way we adults do. I said, "How about I give you a cookie and you let me borrow the remote?" So I had a cookie in my hand. She took the cookie, took a big old bite out of it, probably 3/4 of the cookie, gave it back to me and said, "I don't want the cookie, I want the remote." I just stood there dumbfounded, and I quickly realized that I was trying to bargain with someone who was a lot smarter than I was. It didn't go as well as I thought it would. It's hard to negotiate with someone who has no interest in compromising. And I don't know if you've ever been there before. So I walked away all defeated, thinking, well, that's what happens when you try to negotiate with someone who has a firm grip on what they want. Now, you laugh at that. But it reminds me that sometimes, even as adults, we're faced with situations where we are tempted to negotiate. Well, we are tempted to compromise on something that we know is very, very important. Like this. How many people compromise on this today? Well, we're going to take a 1 week break from our sermon series on the Gospel according to John. And today I want to talk about something very important. And that is, we live in a time, in a world today, where it's easy to compromise on the truth, even among Christians. You see, the world, and even some within the church, Today they're trying to dilute, they're trying to distort or ignore this Bible, the Word of God. And I'm here to remind you this morning that as believers, we are to stand firm on this, the Word of God. We do not compromise on the Word of God. And that's why the title of my sermon this morning is, I Will Not Compromise. Too many people today in the church are compromising on this. I'll believe this, but I won't believe this. I'll take this, but I won't take this. I know what it says, but you know what? They compromise on it. Now, my text this morning that I'm using, it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now look at what he says here. And we are here now. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, here the Apostle Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy, urging him, and by extension, all of us believers, to stand strong in the face of pressure to compromise on this. He's telling Timothy, don't compromise on this. And he's telling you today, through me, don't compromise on this. Now, these five verses that we just read will actually help us understand the importance of standing firm on the Word of God and also the consequences of failing to do so. I mean, just take a look again at what Paul says in verses 1 and 2. Tell me if this isn't serious. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Not what you want to hear, but the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and also encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Again, notice Paul begins this section with a strong and serious appeal. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the word. Does that sound like a suggestion to you? No. That's a divine command that carries with it eternal significance. And friends, the weight of this command cannot be ignored, because as believers, we're responsible to uphold the truth of God's word in all circumstances. Again, look at what Paul says. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now that word preach means to proclaim, to announce publicly. Friends, we're not talking about devotion time here. We are talking about a public declaration. Paul is calling Timothy to preach the gospel, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. You see, there are times when preaching the word of God is popular and easy. Paul calls that in season. And then there are times when preaching the word of God is unpopular, like it is today, and challenging. Paul calls that out of season. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we must always, always be ready to speak the truth, regardless of whether it's accepted or rejected. You see, in our world today, we followers of Jesus Christ, I am telling you, we face so much pressure to remain silent. Don't talk about it. You know what? You want to believe in Jesus, you go to your little church, your little gathering of people, but leave it there. Don't bring it into the world. Don't bring it into my community. Don't bring it into my family. Keep it away. Keep it away. So we are called to be silent. Or adjust the message. Okay, don't preach the hard stuff. Stay away from the hard stuff. You can, the stuff I agree with, I'm okay to hear that. But stay away from the other stuff. But friends, the truth is this. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in schools, or whether it's even in church, there are times when you stand firm on the word of God, it may cost you a relationship. It may cost you a job. But this must never be compromised. It must never be ignored. And it's because this is the only thing that has the power to save. Nothing else has the power to save. You compromise on this, what else do you have? You don't have nothing. Look again at what the Apostle Paul writes in verses 3 and 4, and we are here, my friends. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul is warning us about a future. Well, that future is here when people will no longer tolerate the true, unadulterated teachings of Scripture. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Now, those words sound doctrine is talking about a teaching that aligns up perfectly with the Word of God. Doctrines that are whole, that are complete, that are faithful. And friends, that is so important when it comes to our Christian walk. Because the people who no longer desire sound doctrine, they are opening themselves up to deception and following false teachers. And let me tell you, this is happening more and more and more today with the rise of progressive theology, with the rise of name it and claim it theology. The prosperity gospel, where the truths about the nature of God, salvation, morality are being reinterpreted to suit cultural trends and preferences. And let me tell you, these false teachers, they're everywhere. They're in your local churches, they're on TV, they're on social media. And let me tell you something, they're not that hard to spot. You can spot a false teacher like that. And that's because they use the same buzzwords. They all use the same buzzwords. Words like blessing. Ah, God wants to pour out his blessing upon you, ensuring that every area of your life flourishes. Words like seed faith. When you plant a seed faith offering, you are trusting God to multiply it back to you in ways beyond your imagination. Words like breakthrough. Ah, a breakthrough is coming your way, and the challenges you've been facing will soon turn into testimonies. Ah, words like abundance. God's plan for you is to live in abundance where your needs are met and your desires just overflow. Words like overflow. Ah, prepare for the overflow of blessing as God opens the windows of heaven into your life. I'm starting to sound like Joel Osteen, aren't I? Words like favor. When you walk in God's favor, doors will open for you that no one else can close. When you hear those words, you need to get out of that church as soon as possible and find yourself a church that doesn't compromise on the Word of God, because those people are compromising on the Word of God. Those churches are leading people right to hell. Sorry, they are. Pray for those churches. Pray for those ministers that they get their act together and quit compromising on the Word of God, because that's not the gospel. I mean, do you all see the picture that Paul is painting here? Look again at what he says. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is such a clear picture to me. A people gathering around teachers who are telling them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Well, I got news for you. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. And you know why? Because I'm a lot more fearful of God than I am of you. I'm not afraid of you. What's the worst thing you can do to me? You can call me a Jesus freak and you can leave the church and never come back. We'll miss you. But what can God do to me? He can throw me in a place called hell for eternity. And I'm a lot more fearful of that than I have what you think. I'm not going to tickle your ears. That's not what I'm called to do. And heaven for, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to do that. When Paul says itching ears, he's talking about the desire for comfort. I want to hear messages about comfort. I want to hear messages about approval. I want to hear messages about I'm going to have an easy life if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I've kind of found it to be opposite. Because Satan really attacks you there. You see, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan leaves you alone. He just lets you do your thing. But once you commit yourself to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, Satan ratchets it up. And he attacks this big time. Attacks this big time. These false teachers are experts in getting people to seek out falsehoods rather than embrace the difficult, sometimes convincing truth that's in this Bible. And let me tell you, These false teachers have a huge following. Why do you think Joel Osteen has one of the biggest churches in the United States of America? It's right there in our text. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They don't want to be convicted. They want to be told that they're never going to get sick. They want to be told that they're always going to be rich as long as they plant a seed, give a seed offering. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to miss. And this is happening in so many churches today, and even in individual hearts today. And that's because, friends, it is so tempting to compromise and to seek out teachings that allow us to feel good about ourselves, to feel good about the lifestyle that I am leading that goes against this. Makes me feel good about the choices that I'm making. Makes me feel good about my beliefs. But I got news for you. Compromising the truth always leads to spiritual destruction. And that's why we need to be vigilant, holding fast to the full counsel of God's word, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel. And then Paul finishes this up by writing this in verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Boy, this doesn't sound like the prosperity gospel to me. Does this sound like the prosperity gospel to you guys? Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. I shouldn't be preaching that, telling you guys are going to go through hardships. I should be saying to you, if you believe in Jesus, you're never going to go through a hardship. Huh. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul is encouraging us to keep our head in every situation. In other words, be sober-minded. And to commit yourself to guard against all distractions, all errors, and all temptations. And that involves self-discipline. Staying faithful to this. To the teachings in Scripture. In every aspect of life. And friends, I'm telling you, that type of faithful walk, it will lead to suffering. You will face opposition. You will be mocked. And yes, you may even be persecuted for maintaining biblical truths. You will be called things like a homophobe if you don't agree with same-sex marriage. You'll be called a misogynist if you say women shouldn't be pastors. But Paul urges Timothy and us to endure. Because those are attacks that are not signs that we have done something wrong. I believe they are telling us that we are doing something right. That's why we're being attacked. Even Jesus warned his followers that you're going to face persecution. John chapter 15, verse 20, look at what he said here. He said, remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, was Jesus persecuted? Yeah. They will also persecute you. Again, I don't see the prosperity gospel in any of this stuff. Do you? No, I'm dead serious. Does anybody see any of the prosperity gospel in any of this stuff that I've been reading? I don't see it. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Well, that's not the prosperity gospel. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. In other words, if you're going to live by this Bible, be prepared to endure some hardships. That's what it's saying. Now, How do we endure hardships? Look at what Paul says. Work for the Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all your duties in ministry. In other words, it's not simply enough to just stand firm in our own faith. We're called to actively share the gospel with others. How many of you are doing that? How many of you have friends you've never shared the gospel with? How many of you have family members you've never shared the gospel with? We're called to actively share the gospel with others. And here's the thing where you guys make mistakes. It's just not my job to do that. It's just not a missionary's job to do that. All of our job. It's the responsibility of every believer to share the gospel with non-believers. Paul calls Timothy and us to complete the work that God has given us. To fulfill his calling. And friends, like it or not, every believer has a calling. We all have a unique role to play in God's kingdom. And here's the thing. It takes faithfulness to carry out that calling with dedication and without compromising. We're all called to ministry in some capacity. For some, it's teaching. For some, it's serving. For some, it's evangelizing. For some, it's supporting the work of the gospel. And to be faithful in your ministry, it means not only to speak the truth, but you should be living it out even in the face of opposition. In other words, we are called to take this, the gospel of Jesus Christ, into our family. To our friends, to our workplaces, in our communities, making sure that this is communicated truthfully with love, but urgency. But urgency. I hope you never feel the way I did one time. I was a minister. And a person of the church was in the hospital. And the Lord put it on my heart. I know the Lord put it on my heart. I need to go visit him today. He was in the hospital. Well, there was a bunch of stuff that I also wanted to get done. So I kind of ignored those words in the back of my head. And I went about my business of doing other things. And that night he died. You feel that low? Because you had an opportunity. I don't know if the guy was saved or not. He came to church, but I blew it. And I will stand before the Lord, and I'm going to have to give an answer to that. Because it made it very clear. I just felt, you need to go visit him. You need to go visit him. But I'll go tomorrow. Hope you never go through that. Because that's a feeling that never goes away, because you always have that regret for the rest of your life saying, you know what, the Lord put it on my heart, and that meant he was preparing him probably to hear the message, and I wasn't faithful to do it. Again, we need to be faithful when the Lord puts it on our hearts to talk to someone. We need to do it with urgency. All right, before I close, let's talk about some of the consequences of compromising the Word of God. First consequence of compromising the Word of God is you begin to water down the message. In other words, we lose the essence of what makes Christianity distinct. Which is salvation by grace through faith alone. Hey, when we change the message to make it more acceptable, we risk turning it into something that doesn't save. So always remember, the gospel is perfect in its purity. Any attempt to dilute it leads to spiritual lifelessness. If you dilute this, it has no power. It only has power if you allow it to stay in its purity, what it says. Second consequence of compromising the word of God is you lose your influence. And boy, you don't want that to happen. Another way to say it is you lose your testimony. Once you lose it, it's hard to get that back. According to Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, the church is supposed to be the salt and the light of the world, and I don't think we're doing a very good job. Look at what it says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? If you water this thing down, how are you going to bring it back? You aren't. You aren't. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, to be trampled underfoot by men. Don't dilute the word of God. Don't compromise. Don't water it down. Don't let it lose its saltiness. It's no good for nothing then when you do that. Then he goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that it may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, when we compromise on this Bible, our influence in society is damaged. It's diminished. And that's because you and I, we're no longer standing as a beacon of truth, but instead we're just another voice among many offering a diluted, powerless solution to life's problems. Well, the third consequence of compromising on the Word of God, and this is the most serious, is it can have eternal consequences. Apostle Paul makes that very, very, very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Look at what he writes. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In other words, those who reject the truth or distort the truth will answer to God for their actions. All Christians are going to stand before God and give an accounting of what they've done with this. Do you really want to be accused by God Almighty of watering down this? Friends, I hope I get you to understand one thing. The stakes are very, very high when it comes to compromising the Word of God. The gospel message is a message that you and I cannot afford to tamper with. Don't mess with the Bible. And too many Christians are messing with the Bible. Hey, if we are to love people, we must be willing to speak the hard truths, even if it costs us. And that's because people's eternal destinies are at stake. A watered down Bible does you no good. The purity of the Bible is what saves. It comes down to this. When it comes to how we treat this Bible, the Word of God, Jesus Christ is our example. Don't listen to anything I've said today, but I sure hope you'll take the example of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe Jesus faced incredible temptation to compromise? How many of you remember this Satan and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. How many of you remember that story? It's in Matthew chapter 4. It's in the other gospel. Matthew chapter 4 is the one that I remember. Three times Satan tempted Jesus, didn't he? And how did Jesus fight back that temptation? He responded with the authority of Scripture, didn't he? He didn't dilute it. A diluted Scripture doesn't fight back Satan. The true purity of the gospel fights back Satan. You see, Jesus' commitment to God's word was unwavering. Our commitment to this should be unwavering. Even when it meant suffering and rejection. And as Christians, we must follow Christ's example. We must cling to the word of God in the face of temptation, in the face of pressure, and the face of persecution. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. How about we read this together? Can we do that? All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, we don't need to supplement the Word of God with worldly wisdom or man or woman's ideas. And that's because this is enough. The Word of God is enough. It's more than enough to equip us for every good work and to give us direction we need to live a godly life. You see, when we stand on the Word, we're standing on something that's not just eternal, but it is sufficient for every challenge that we face. So don't compromise and don't look somewhere else for the truth. And that's because God's word alone is the foundation. All right, let me close with this. In a world where compromise is all too common, you and I need to stand firm. I will not compromise on the word of God is a declaration that must be written on the hearts of every believer. I will not compromise when it comes to this. I'll compromise. Man, I compromise with Paula every day. And I imagine those of you who are married, you compromise every day with your spouse. That's what we call a successful marriage, by the way. Would you all agree with that? It's all about compromising. We don't compromise with this. We don't compromise when it comes to the Word of God. So let us resolve today to hold tightly to Scripture, to proclaim it boldly, to live by it consistently, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, which is truth. Father, help us to stand firm on it. Help us to proclaim it boldly. Help us to endure the challenges that come with being faithful to it. Because the challenges will come. Father, strengthen us to resist the temptation to compromise. Father, give us the courage to live out your truth in a world that so badly needs it. Father, may our lives reflect this word. And may others be drawn to you through our unwavering commitment to the gospel. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.